the moral standards for Christians today. There's a standard that as disciples of Jesus, we are called to live by. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God." You can almost say it with me, "with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the great and the first commandment, and the second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend or hang all of the law and the prophets. That's found in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22. So there's two commandments in there. The great, what we call the greatest commandment, and that's to love God with your whole being, everything you are and who you are. And then there's the great commandment to love your neighbor. But you can't do that unless you love yourself. And you can't do that unless you know who you are in Christ. These two commandments summarize the Ten Commandments. That's what Jesus was trying to say. He's talking to Jewish people who lived by the Ten Commandments, which were the moral law. And they were the standards that all Jews were to live by, the way that they were designed to design their lifestyle, and it was the issues that were to determine the way they thought, the way they acted, and the way they spoke, and their attitude. Those two commandments summarize all of the Ten Commandments. So there are two positive commandments. If you go through the Ten Commandments, you don't know where they are. They're in Exodus chapter 20. There are two positive of ten, and the other eight are negative. So there's only two that are positive and eight that are negative. And those Ten Commandments are the moral standards by which we are to live as disciples today. So I'm going to look at those for a minute. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and another version says, all your strength. That one commandment is a summary of the first four of the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with your relationship between you and God. It has nothing to do with everybody else, it's just you and God. And if you love God with your whole heart, you will live by all of these four Ten Commandments, the first four. So let me give them to you. You have no other gods, only God. So money can't be a god, reputation can't be a god. Some of us know more about movie stars than we know about God because we made the movie star a god. Some of us have made Christian on television a god. Second one is you should have no carved gods or carved images of any god, and you shall bow down and worship them. The third one is you don't use the name of the Lord your God in curses or silly banter and talk. Don't use God's name in vain. And that includes don't say God said something unless you're really sure God said something. Because many people blame God for a lot of things that he didn't say or do. And then the fourth one, which we all happen to have a problem with, is observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's interesting, if you go down the Ten Commandments, there's only one of them that uses the word remember. So if you go down, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Because he knew we would forget. So if you don't have a Sabbath time, it doesn't have to be 24 hours, we've talked about this before, but a period of a good quality and good quantity of time where you can focus on your relationship with God once a week, then you're missing a Sabbath, you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And by the way, that's the definition of sin. Sin is the breaking of the Ten Commandments. And the book of James says you break one, you break them all. So there's not a big one and a little one, and this isn't, you know, there's not a mortal one and a venial one like the Roman Catholics teach. Okay, so the first four of the Ten Commandments, there are three negatives and one positive, and they deal with your relationship with God. And if you love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, you will fulfill all four without even thinking about them. And that's the greatest commandment. The great commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the last of the six of the Ten Commandments is one positive, five negative ones. If you will love your neighbor as you love yourself, you will fulfill all six without having to think about them. The positive one is number five, which is honor your father and your mother. You don't have to agree with them. You don't always have to, you know, think nice thoughts, but you have to honor them. You never speak against them. Honor your father and your mother so that you'll live a long time in the land that God is giving you. And the rest of them are the negative ones. Thou shalt not murder. There's no adultery, no stealing, So you can't steal a person's reputation. You can't steal a person's belongings. There's no lies about your neighbor. Do not bear false witness. That's the same thing as lying or gossiping. And then number 10, there's no lusting after the things that your neighbor owns. So when your neighbor gets the new iPhone and you begin to drool, you have broken the 10th commandment. Because you envy somebody. You're lusting after what they have. So if we live by the great commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, then we would not murder ourselves. We would not steal from ourselves. We would not ruin our reputation. We won't gossip against ourselves. And you would fulfill all of those six by loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Does that make sense? Okay, those are our moral standards. There's a move around the world to destroy that. There's a specific preacher that lives in Indonesia who has an international television ministry. It's huge. His church is huge. It looks like something out of a Star Wars movie. And he preaches against the Ten Commandments. There's an old heresy, wrong teaching that came into the church back in about 600 AD called Antinomianism, which is you can do whatever you want now that you're saved because there's grace and God will forgive you and there are no standards. You don't have to live by the Ten Commandments. And it's spreading around the world. It's called lawlessness. So there are 10 moral laws that we must live by. Jesus took 10, 8 of which were negative, summarized them as 2 positive ones that are easier to remember because there's easier order when there's only 2 instead of 10. But Jesus did something else. He told us that the other laws were not as important and we didn't have to fulfill them because there are a lot of other laws in the scriptures, Old Testament. There's the ceremonial laws. There's the cleanliness laws. There were the temple laws. There were the civil laws. And then there were the moral laws. And everything else, all these other sets of laws were not kept by the New Testament church. Just the moral law was. The Ten Commandments. Jesus did something with those Ten Commandments. He gave us a new standard. The Ten Commandments are part of the law of Moses. It was how they were to treat each other and how they were to treat God as they traveled through the wilderness and then into the promised land. That's the law under the law, Moses. Jesus came full of grace. Now we live under grace, not the law. But that those Ten Commandments still hold. And Jesus did something to the Ten Commandments. He boosted them up higher. So if this was the standard in the Old Testament, the standard in the New Testament is much higher. Not disappear, not ignore it. They're higher. Because under grace, you have God's enabling power to do even better than the basics. So Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" So he's quoting one of the Ten Commandments. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So he's taken a physical act. If you sleep with somebody you're not married to, then you've committed adultery and you've broken one of the Ten Commandments. And he bounces the quality of that up some and says, if you've done that with your eyes and your heart, you've already done it. That's as big a sin as if you actually slept with the person. So under the grace covenant that we exist in and we live by, the standards, the Ten Commandments, are higher. They have a new interpretation that we have to live by. So under the law, the Old Testament, there was the physical act of adultery. Under grace, the New Testament, if you just look at someone and lust, you've done it. I'll give you another one. "You have heard that our ancestors were told you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone..." Whoa. "If you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot..." Ooh. "If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the courts. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell." Whoa. Under the law, the Old Testament, the physical act of murder was murder. Under grace, the New Testament, just to hate somebody is murder. So the standard has been, the bar has been raised. Amen? So Jesus gives us a higher moral code than the Old Testament lived by, than the original standards of the Ten Commandments. So listen to what Jesus said. "Don't misunderstand why I have come," he says. "I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." In other words, to live them perfectly. "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law, the Ten Commandments, will disappear until its purpose is achieved." Its purpose is to make you like God, like Jesus. "So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Wow. So Jesus didn't come to remove them. He came to inoculate them, make them bigger, make them higher as a standard for us to live by, a moral standard. The Pharisees, everybody know who the Pharisees are? Okay, the religious rulers of the Jews, they lived by the Ten Commandments as set out by God in the time of Moses. And not only did they live by them, but they made all sorts of little details of how you would do that. So, you know, 6 days you shall labor, on the seventh you shall rest. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. So they would tell you that you could only walk so many steps on the Sabbath before it was work. You couldn't cook on the Sabbath. You couldn't collect wood on the Sabbath. So in our day and age, on the night before the Sabbath, you'd have to tear the toilet paper off the roll, because tearing toilet paper off the roll on the Sabbath would be work and you'd be breaking the Sabbath. I mean, that's how detailed they had become. They had like hundreds of details for these laws. They interpreted the law the way they thought that the law would require them to live, and they applied the law to their daily life. And they lived by every man-made detail. I mean, they lived by every detail that had ever been accumulated over several thousand years. And so they considered themselves to be righteous, right with God. And Jesus says, "But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." They lived the whole of the moral law perfectly, as far as they were concerned, plus all the details they created to interpret those laws. And Jesus looked at them and said, "That's nothing. You've got a higher standard than that if you're hoping to enter the kingdom of heaven." So the standard under grace is much higher than the righteous standard of the Ten Commandments. The righteousness of the disciples of Jesus, that's us, must greatly exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Whoa. So Paul writes and says, "To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ." So he's even renamed this thing. It's no longer the moral law, it's the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. Jesus says, or Galatians says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So the law of Christ is the Ten Commandments with the extra emphasis that he's added to them. If you were to read your New Testament and underline every verse that says "one another," there'd be 59 verses that you would underline. I won't repeat. "Love one another" comes up, I think, 13 times, so I won't repeat it. These will be on my website tomorrow, so you can read them all. "Be at peace with one another. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Be devoted to one another in Christian love. Honor one another above honoring yourself. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Teach one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss." That'll get you into trouble today. "When you come together to eat, wait for each other. Have equal concern for each other." You know, the "greet one another with a holy kiss" is there 3 times. Wow. "Serve one another in love. If you keep on biting and devouring one another, you will be destroyed by each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient. I hate it when I preach to myself. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive one another. Speak to one another with spiritual songs, hymns, and psalms. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Consider others better than yourself. Do not lie to each other. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Let your love increase and overflow for one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Do not slander one another. Don't grumble against one another. Confess your sins to one another. Whoops, there's another one of those you don't want to do. Pray for one another. Love one another deeply from the heart. Live in harmony with one another. Offer hospitality to one another. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. Clothe yourself in humility towards one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It's there four times. They just keep going. This is the law of Christ. If you want to fulfill the Ten Commandments with the increased understanding that Jesus gave them, all of these one another's need to be understood in our hearts and seen in our lives, because people will know we are his disciples if we love one another. Whoa, there's an interesting thought. So let me focus on several of those. Live in harmony with one another. That's Romans 12:16. To do that, let me suggest we need to learn how to listen. Do you realize how much Christians talk? Do you realize that? Lady in my church came up and she said, your mouth looks sore. This was a year ago. And I said, it is. I had a couple of teeth taken out. Oh, immediately. She didn't even respond to that. Immediately we were talking about her molar and how it cracked and she lost the filling and there's a hole there. And when anything cold touches it and she couldn't breathe, she didn't listen. She used one little comment, and I wasn't even volunteering information. She asked to jump into her life. That is not living in harmony with one another. I could have hit her and knocked her tooth right out. We need to listen. We need to understand each other, know where we're coming from. We need to treat each other with dignity and respect. And that means listening. We need to learn to live in love. We need to deal with all those ugly little things in our lives, you know, like unforgiveness, resentment, offenses, bitterness. Otherwise, they're going to destroy us. They're like spiritual cancers. They just, you don't see them and you don't feel them most times, but they eat away on the inside. And you're breaking the Ten Commandments. You can't carry an offense. What's an offense, by the way? You know, did you know that Jesus didn't say, if you're offended? In Luke, he says, when you are offended. He just assumed you would be offended. So, if you expect this from me, even if you don't tell me that's your expectation, and my performance is here, the gap between your expectation, which I don't know, and my performance is your offense. And once you are offended, everything that person that you're offended at does will always be interpreted through those offenses. And it won't matter if everything they do is perfect. Everything they do will feed your offense because you will see it all through that offense. So when Paul writes, live in harmony with one another, that's hard work. Second thing was accept one another. It's another one I wanted to pick on. Jesus accepted you just as you are. Aren't you glad? I was a mess when I got saved. I'm still a bit of a mess. He accepted you just as you are, and he loves you unconditionally. And he expects us to do the same. He expects each one of us to accept each other just as we are. And I have a couple of concerns about that. So I'm going to get real personal, and if you don't want me to stay for the potluck supper, you can tell me. I grew up in Quebec. When Canada decided to go bilingual, two official languages, Quebec instantly decided to go unilingual, and all the street signs were changed to French. All the store signs were French. They have a religious police, or a language police force, that goes around making sure all the signs have French on them and no English. Everything that's sold, the French has to be bigger on the box of cereal than the English section. There's a language police that goes around. And I was mad. Mad enough that I packed it up and left the province and haven't lived there in 35 years, 40 years. Because when you don't allow a person the right to speak their language, you're rejecting them. Because their language is who they are. It's part of their nationality, their personality, right? I'm going to be real blunt. I am so tired of hearing people at New Hope concerned that once in a while the people from South Africa speak Afrikaans. Suck it up. I'm sorry. I think it's amazing that in a small town we can have more than one language. I was forced to speak and learn French. But even when it went unilingual, even though I was bilingual, I left because you weren't respecting who I was or treating me and my ethnic upbringing, because I'm British from Cornwall. You were not treating me with dignity and respect. And so every time I hear somebody say something about, well, gee, we got this other language. Patience, Ralph. Love. Folks, let it go. Don't have a small town mentality. We live in a multicultural nation. I just came back from the last church service I preached at in Kyrgyzstan. And I don't even know the name of the city. I couldn't pronounce it anyways. I spoke in English. The pastor, one of the pastor's 23-year-old sons, translated into Russian. His mother translated into Kazakh. The worship leader translated into Kyrgyz. And the next person translated it into a language I've never even heard of. I think it was Ungar. And then it came back to me. It was a... But there was a joy in that place. All the people assembled, most of them only spoke the one language. And that's why we were doing it in six languages. And it was a what are you going to do when you get to heaven? All these languages will be spoken. So let's just let people be people and treat each other with dignity and respect and let them speak their own language. Don't be insecure. They're not talking about you. You'd be surprised how seldom we do. Let me say that another way. If they can't speak Afrikaans, then you don't speak farmer. Because I'm sorry, a dugout's a boat. It's not a hole in the ground that holds water. A combine happens to be when you put two companies together, because I'm a CPA. But you happen to drive your combine. I mean, you got a language that we city dwellers don't know. And if you're in the oil patch, I mean, you got a whole wow language that I have no clue. An air seeder, if you're a farmer. Why are you seeding the air? It's free. You don't need to seed the air. You hear what I'm saying? If you can speak farmer, I can speak French, and the Afrikaans can speak Afrikaans. If they're speaking to you, they'll switch languages. Trust me. They want you to understand them. So we're not going to grow as a church unless we start to honor each other, respect each other. Okay. Third one of all of these commandments is don't slander one another. If you take that, and that's James chapter 4, verse 11. If you take that one back to the Ten Commandments, it happens to be, thou shalt not bear false witness. If you take that into the current language, that's called, do not gossip. We have a gossip problem. Every church has a gossip problem. But this one has a gossip problem. There are certain people in this church who eavesdrop on conversations just to collect information. Trust me, I watch. I'm one of the ones that eavesdrop on. They stand behind you and listen to the conversation you're holding. So sometimes you'll come and talk to me about people I don't know and tell me details I don't need to know because I don't know the people. And there's nothing any of us can do. All you're doing is gossiping. Sometimes the prayer chain is a gossip chain. And again, people will not join a church if they know that you're speaking against them or about them. So let me give you another example. There's a lady in a church in Regina that I work with. She talks about everybody all the time. People I know, people I don't know. And so when she says, "How are you?" I say, "Fine." If I could, I wouldn't say anything. Because if she's talking about all the other people, then when I'm not around, she's talking about me. Gossip causes division. And the Bible says, mark those who cause division. So I'm going to start doing that. When I hear the gossip, I'm staying down on Sunday nights. I'm going to come knock on your door Monday, and I'm going to say, "Listen, you're gossiping and it's got to stop." We're not going to grow. You want gossip, you can gossip on Main Street, you can gossip in the bar. Don't talk about people unless they're there and they can defend themselves. Or is my Thumper theology, everybody remember Thumper? The Bambi movie? Yeah, Thumper. He says, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Poor English, but good theology. So let's watch our gossip level. We're not to slander one another. We're not to speak against one another. And number four is don't devour one another. So unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, gossip, hatred, that's like being a spiritual cannibal. You just eat up people. Don't do that. And number five, don't grumble about one another. If you have a concern, go talk to them. We shouldn't have to tell Christians this stuff. Here's what happens. You offend me. I have a concern. You don't, but if you did. Okay. And right away, God will pour his grace out on me. The power of God will come to allow me to forgive you and come and deal with it. But I don't want to because I'm mad. So I go talk to Michael Jackson about it. Right? The live Michael Jackson, not the dead one. Okay. And so Michael helps me. He prays with me. I feel better. He thinks you're awful. And so that's great. And then all of a sudden the pressure is building up inside again because God wants me to go deal with it. But I don't want to deal with it because I'm mad at you. So I'm going to go talk to Earl about it. And Earl's going to have compassion on me. And he's going to love on me. And he's going to pray with me. And I'm going to feel better. And he's going to feel good because he ministered to me. And oh, it's good. And then one day I'm going to wake up and realize God wants me to go deal with the issue. So I go deal with it. We love each other. We pray with each other. We cry and we're fine again. And Earl's opinion of you has changed forever because there's no grace on his life to deal with what happened. And Michael's opinion of you has changed forever and there's no grace on his life to come and you. And that's why the book of Hebrews says that when you are offended, grab hold of the grace lest a whole group of people become spiritually infected. So that's how we devour one another. We really need to work with this stuff. And then we can encourage one another. Amen? So listen to John chapter 13. I'm just about done. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. So we need to tighten things up and begin to really act like Christians who love one another. Amen? My suggestion would be sometime tonight or tomorrow, go before God and repent. I have two people in Manitoba that I have to talk to on my way home because I left mad. And you got to deal with these things. Keep short lists. And then after you've repented and been forgiven, go find the person and get reconciled. Do you know what that would do for our church? It would be amazing. You don't gossip about people that you love. So people who follow the law of Christ, the law of love, we really do need to learn how to do that. And again, I've taught you this many years ago. My kids grew up under this. It was called the LAF principle, L-A-F principle. Love, accept, forgive. Love unconditionally because God loves you unconditionally. Accept them for just who they are and where they're at because God accepted you for who you are and where you're at. And forgive them totally because God forgives you, past, present, and future. And we're supposed to do what Jesus did. Amen? So people are looking for hope. People are looking for a better way to live. And if they look at the Christians and they see that we live like they do, we gossip, we talk about each other, we devour each other, we complain and grumble about each other, they're not going to come. Why would they want to join something that gives them more obligations? You know, now you got to go to worship and you got to pray and you got to read your Bible and tithe and you're going to add all this stuff with no benefits because you don't live any different than the world. People are looking for a place that offers them something the world doesn't offer them. And if they see it, they'll join. And if they see it, I mean, it'll be wow. It'll be amazing. And we can do it because we've experienced the love of God. And all God wants us to do is to take that love that's in us and give it away. Love each other like God loves us. Be patient, you know, long-suffering, all those things we don't like. By this, all people will know that you are my followers, disciples, if you have love for one another. It's very visible when we have it, and it's very obvious when we don't. Amen? So, I hope I can stay for supper.
We'll take a vote.
Yeah, we can vote. So, let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that there is 10 laws and the 10 commandments, but that you have interpreted them and changed them for us and made them very positive. We're to love you with our whole hearts. We're to love our neighbor, love each other as we love ourselves. Help us to fulfill the law of Christ. Help us to fulfill the 59 one another verses that are in the scriptures. Help us to work at understanding each other, receiving and accepting each other. Help us to get to know one another on more than just an inch deep and a mile wide. Help us to develop healthy and whole relationships where forgiveness is offered and received. I just ask that you would pour out your love on us, that we could truly be a place that offers new hope to those who have no hope, and a place where people can come and know that they will be loved and received, understood, not gossiped, judged, criticized, and rejected. Help us to be totally different than the world so that your people will love one another and the world will see that love and be amazed by it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Good.